It's not an illusion. Your dreams are about to come true. The Believe Your Eyes Collection. Moodstruck 3D Fiber Lashes Plus. Moodstruck Addiction Eyeshadow Palette. Moodstruck Precision Pencil Eyeliner. And a free unique branded drawstring bag. Just $74, a 20% savings. Visit LaceyDrawers.com today and click on Unique by Renee. Looks like miracles do exist. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. May customer kudos runs through May 31st,
2017. Hi, I'm not Trixie Mattel.
Hi, I'm not Katya Zimbulachdalakalavich. Right?
Yeah, and this is not.
I was like, where are you going with this?
This is.
We are not Nina Flowers.
Hola, Lexi.
Hola, Lacey. Welcome back, guys. Hi. Hopefully, you're ready for an episode of us just talking shit and stuff. Just talking. We appreciate you sitting there just listening to us.
Right? So we're on episode 17.
Jesus! Oh, excuse me. We can't say Jesus Christ.
Is that trademarked?
I don't know. I think so. My friend, though, started saying this thing at work, and I think it's really funny, and she'll be like, cheese and rice! And I'm like, yes.
Oh my god, that's so 1993.
Cheese and rice. Yeah. It makes me hungry every time.
Right?
Cheese and rice.
Shall we move into what's new?
Yes!
What's new?
So, first things first, let's talk about Manchester. The Ariana Grande concert. Manchester, England, there was a bombing. 22 people have died. Many more were injured. Ariana has suspended the rest of her world tour to honor those that were killed. What?
It's just, I don't...
Fuck.
I know. I don't know.
Like, what kind of world do we live in? Why is this happening?
It's fucked up. Because we're coming from a kind of mindset where people were being really progressive and we were discovering new things and we were trying new things and we were really advancing as a society and real shitty.
It's awful. Moving to the next piece of business here. President Trump is also in Israel right now. And during his speech in Jerusalem, he said, I just got back from the Middle East. Like, bitch, do you know where you are? Do you know where you are?
He said,
because I think that some countries don't have maps. Like, that's what went through my head. He's in Jerusalem, in the Middle East, saying he just got back from Jerusalem, or from the Middle East.
From the Middle East.
Like, he does not know his geography. We have hired a third grader to be a president.
Well, half of America is not smarter than a fifth grader, so.
Seriously. Dax exclamation point saved a man's life.
Exclamation point.
So she was at a bar in Atlanta when there was a gunshot. The victim came in the doorway and she ran over to him. He had a gunshot through his leg. Luckily, it went like straight through. There was no like major arteries that were hit. But she tore off the Violet Tchotchke t-shirt that he was wearing and turned it into a tourniquet to stop the bleeding until the paramedics could get there. So, like, quick thinking, Dax saved this man's life, legitimately. I mean, this is the most hardcore thing to come out of Drag Race.
Right.
Since James Mansfield's somersault.
Because that was so hardcore.
Like, and it's funny because she cosplays all of these superheroes.
And she was just a superhero.
Like, that's adorable.
It is the cutest, and it must mean a lot to the person who she saved.
Right? All right, let's talk Drag Race. Do we need to recap the episode, or can we just move straight into Maskgate? Like,
she was pissed. Like, that's the only thing I can focus on, the fact that RuPaul was fucking pissed about that thing.
Two moments. I feel like RuPaul is usually pretty laid back. The only other time is during season 7 when she yelled that she didn't want to hear any more goddamn excuses after the Shakespeare episode. Those are the only two times RuPaul has been pissed.
Like, legitimately pissed.
Legit, yeah.
And I was both surprised, but, like, also, like, really living for that moment because I was like, yes, bitch! Which is really weird because I'm the biggest Valentina fan. Like, I love her so much and I really was like hoping she would make it so far. And then here she's in the bottom and she's getting yelled at and I'm kind of like hurt, but at the same time I'm like, well, bitch, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
you know the rules. Right. This is not the first episode of season one of Drag Race. Like, you know the rules.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever done that either. I get it though, because like, especially like, if anyone has watched the Untucked like video, it's
she gave up.
Yeah, it spreads so much more light on right. what we already know, you right. know, and so it. She just shut down. She just shut the fuck down. And
she's never failed before.
Yeah.
We have to remember she's only been doing drag at that point for 10 or 11 months, less than a year. She has never failed at drag. And here she was failing for the first time on national television.
Where everyone can see right. in front of RuPaul, which is like one of her biggest idols. Right. So for sure, I would have been shitted too. And that's part of the reason why I felt so empathetic with what was going on. Oh yeah,
for sure.
Because I've been in the bottom, not on RuPaul's Drag Race, of course, but I've been in the bottom twice. And that's really... It.
You've only bottomed twice in your whole life.
Yes, I've only bottomed twice.
Let's move into the UQ cap. What happened?
It was the drag...
Oh, the drag roulette.
The drag roulette, okay. Yeah. Which, up until that point, I thought was one of the craziest challenges that they had given us. I was wrong, because this week is even crazier. But it was just... I don't know. It was definitely a fun challenge for sure, but it definitely kept us on our toes. And I think that's why everybody was kind of like... looking at everyone else like, what do you think you're gonna get?
Right.
And then I got to pick my own song, and then like that was it. Like,
why did you get to pick your own?
Because that was one of the options. So you spin the wheel, you get one of the six songs, or you get Queen's Pick. And so mine's landed on Queen's Pick.
Oh, where you got to pick one of the six
where
songs.
Where I got to pick one of the songs, so.
Would all six of you have done the same song if they all would have landed on the same one?
If we got... a song twice, that was fine. If we got a song three times, you'd have to spin again.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so it was her and Stella in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
I
a pretty hard lip sync.
I'm not going to lie. I felt a little bad that her landed in the bottom because she ended up getting the same song that I chose. And they were straight up with her. They're like, this was not a bad performance. Someone did it before you and she did it better. Which was a compliment to me. But at the same time, I was like, ugh, like, I wonder if I had to pick that song.
That's a shitty judging technique. I'm sorry. That is shitty.
Why?
You need to judge them based on their own performance, not on how somebody else did. I think that's a shitty judging technique.
But, like...
I think it's good that they were like, Lexi did this better. That's cool. But her does not perform the same as Lexi. They could have found other things to be like... You did not do great in that song.
Well, that was not the only critique.
Didn't know the words.
Like, that was not the only critique, but that was something that made me feel shitty about the whole thing, because I'm like, ugh, like...
Which is shady. Like, I think that's a shitty judging technique to bring you up and make you feel shitty at the same time.
Yeah.
That's not a good judging
technique. I still got through, though, so I'm not too bothered by it.
So you were safe. Who won?
Adriana. It was good. Good for her. I'm so proud of her. Like
her. Good on her.
Good on her. Not her, but her.
Also good on her.
Yeah, also good on her. For sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we going to talk.
And hopefully our special guest will be here.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Boop!
It's not an illusion. Your dreams are about to come true. The Believe Your Eyes Collection. Moodstruck 3D Fiber Lashes Plus, Moodstruck Addiction Eyeshadow Palette, Moodstruck Precision Pencil Eyeliner, and a free unique branded drawstring bag. Just $74, a 20% savings. Visit LaceyDoors.com and click on Unique by Renee. Looks like miracles do exist. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. My customer kudos runs through May 31st, 2017.
Hey, Lexi, you've seen my new shoes, right?
They're so cute, girl.
They are so cute. I posted a picture of them recently on Instagram. You can see how quality these crystals are.
I know, and honestly, that picture does not do it justice.
Agreed, 100%.
Like, yeah, you can look at those fuckers up close, and they look so good.
They reflect light so well.
Yeah.
And you can see that each crystal was laid individually, one by one.
One by one. And you can tell. Yeah, it's quality pristine work is what is being done there.
Do you need to get something stoned?
Or are you already stoned and you want to just get more stoned?
Or are you too stoned to stone your own outfits?
Or maybe you're just too stoned to understand the stony joke.
That might be it. Visit, Visit Etsy.com/TECDesign. That's Etsy.com/TECEDesign and get your stoning done now. And mention that Lacey and Lexi sent ya. All right, we are back. We've found our special guest, always wandering around Colfax in a tube top.
I mean, it always happens always. That way.
Listen, y'all both gotta stop hating on my aesthetic.
Listen, Linda.
Listen.
Get your chancla or mine?
Well, I'm sorry that has to come up so often, okay? We have reasons.
It's a cultural thing. You wouldn't understand.
Well, I mean, she don't understand. Do you want my chancla or should you get yours?
Right, that's a big thing there.
Okay, but you're from Mexico, or your family's from Mexico, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Is it the same in Salvador?
And Guatemala?
Guatemala, where's your family from?
Salvador and Guatemala, so I'm okay. Central American. And so,
I think it's the same.
We may call it different names, but we know to avoid any flying footwear coming at our heads.
Do you make a no?
I love you!
Oh my god.
So we found Eva.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, so you listened to last week's podcast, yeah?
You have a podcast?
Oh. It's new. It just started.
Yeah, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
How Saint-Tropez of you.
Right. It's so Saint-Tropez.
Guess this.
So we asked Elizabeth a question that we're going to ask you.
Okay.
If you could have a meal with anybody living or dead, who would it be and why? You can't pick my answer. Sorry. Mine was pretty good.
I can't pick the two meals and get one meal free. Damn it. Foiled again. Let's see. I would probably go with... I have a couple different options of what I go.
I forgot what I said. What did I say?
The Pope.
Oh, the Pope.
You went with Papa John.
Papa Juan. Papa Juan Pablo.
Yeah, I had like an ESL moment. Papa John Pablo?
Papa John Pablo? Is that?
Papa John's.
Papa John.
I want to have a meal with Papa John's.
I want to know how you run a really shaded business.
I mean, I know they hate the gays, but their pizza is bomb.
Is it truly made fresh?
Fresh ingredients.
So Papa John's.
I would probably, as far as like who I would share a meal with, it might be either Mahatma Gandhi, just to...
He was a racist.
Yeah. That's where I was kind of thinking of like the problematic aspect of it.
Wasn't Gandhi African?
He was Indian.
How was he racist?
Just because he was born in India doesn't mean he's not a racist.
That's not what I'm getting at. Who was he racist towards?
And welcome to the Social Justice Warrior Debate with Evolution. I'll be your hostess of the evening as people throw chanclas and yarmulkes around.
Demon canal! Oh my gosh. That's surprising. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was racist.
He was very problematic. The racist piece of it I know about. I also know that he was a bit of a...
misogynist.
Yeah, misogynist and a bit of a adulterer. Which, all aside from that, I think it would just be more curious to kind of get his world view as far as, you know, the concept of, like, you know, his pacifism and everything. The other one would be the namesake for my drag name, which would probably be Charles Darwin, just to kind of get that scientific input.
I was like, who's Eva?
Who's Eva Lucian? Who is Lucian?
I was like that girl then on the book cover.
Demon
my
Gano.
Life is Eva.
As far as it would just be honestly just poking that scientific brain as far as like what made you link all these concepts together or what drove your passion into studying that research or as far as putting the building blocks together to come up with the theory of evolution. And then also just for me to kind of say like I'm Eva, last name Lucian. Hint, you're gonna work on this in a couple of decades.
Right, he'll be like, I don't understand.
Dice McNagu. I don't know what they say, but Dice McNagu. Yeah.
You just offended some Eastern European person.
Probably, but I'm not.
Damn Eastern it! We lost our viewership in Chechnya. Oh, too real.
Anyway, so Charles Darwin, huh?
Charles Darwin, yeah. Okay. Just for scientific inquiries.
Yeah.
And just for to
you don't think that either of them are gonna not be homophobic assholes?
I think that would be the fun reveal and all that, or if anything, kind of challenging older mental perspectives of things, or at least confusing the fuck out of them. And then you know, when I get tired of them, you know, pull out my brujeria shit and just be like, okay, time for you to leave.
Oh, is that where you bust out the chancla?
That's where I bust out the enchanted chancla.
Demon King, no.
All right, so let's move into our main discussion. We're going to talk about gay stuff. Lexi, what's your coming out story? Wait, are you a homosexual?
Yes. Yes, I am a homosexual.
I don't want to assume your sexual orientation just because you're a drag queen.
Okay. You know, when you're that young, you already kind of know, but you don't know. We don't know it's gay, right? But we know something's going on that maybe doesn't add up.
Right, or, you don't have the vocabulary.
You knew you were different.
Yeah, so I knew I was kind of like the weirdo of the group in every class I was in. And so we fast forward to when I'm an adolescent, right? And so then hormones are going crazy and I'm trying to act a certain way that I feel that I'm expected to act, but I also want to act another way that comes naturally to me. So it's this shit show. Because I had a lot of girlfriends, but at the same time I was making out with little boys in bathrooms and stuff. And by little boys, I mean like kids my age. So then it gets to a point where, because I was always like a social outcast, right? Most of us go through that. But I think what ended up happening is my senior year, I just stopped giving a fuck, really. And so then I started dance class, and I started doing, like, a bunch of artsy shit. Because even doing ceramics, I thought was gay at the time. That's how close-minded I was as a gay person. That I was like, I don't want to do any art classes because I don't want to be, like, tagged as gay. Which is really stupid, because it was...
As you're making out with boys in the
room. Exactly! Like, it was just... I don't know what the fuck was going through my head.
So you came out to friends first before you came.
Yeah, I think that's where my depressionary period started, is when I actually came out to friends, because I made it a very big like mental note to tell myself, like, you're gonna come out to your parents before you come out to anyone else. And because of the situation I was in, where at that time, for some fucking reason, our family had always been distanced from religion and like going to church and stuff like that. Right when I feel like I'm at my prime to be like, I'm comfortable with myself, this is when I want to come out, that's when they decide to get close to church. So it kind of pushed me further away from
it. Can I talk to you? I have something really important to tell you.
Okay, get me
sweetie, home. But yes, first, but first we are going to go to church, and we are going to talk about how much we hate gay people. What did you have to say?
It's almost exactly like... No.
And that whooshing sound would be Lexi rushing further into the closet.
All of this is going on as my parents are getting close to church. I'm, like, making out with boys, but I'm also, like, not trying to do shit. So then when I get to senior year, I just stopped caring. So then I was like, fuck it, I'm moving out. My grandma was like, you know what, you need to get out of here. Like, you have a uncle out in Colorado. Let's go visit him for a month. And in that month, I got a job. I called my parents, and because I was 18 at the time already. And I called my parents, and I was like, I think I'm going to stay here for a while.
So you moved to Colorado. When did you come out to your family?
When I was already, like, basically living, not on my own. I was living with my uncle, but I basically was, like, living out of the house. I had my own job. I had my own kind of life going on. I was living out here already for, like, 8 or 9 months before my mom decided to come visit me. And then that whole time she was here for like 5 days. I was like, you have to tell her. And I'm just fucking petrified. I keep making dates with her. We keep going to the mall. We went to like dinner. I basically waited till she was boarding the airplane to go back home before I was like, I like dudes. Like, and she was like, okay. That was basically what she did, but she didn't say Dima Kado. She basically was like, okay, like, I'm still gonna love you. Which was extremely comforting for me. Even though we literally had like a 10-minute conversation before she had to get on the plane. And then we fast forward to 2 days later where she calls me and she's pissed. And she's like, I finally, like, basically, she didn't say in these words, but she basically was like, I finally had time to, like, think about what you said. This is not something I'm okay with. Like, I told your dad, and I was like, why the fuck did you tell my dad? And she goes, because he's my husband. I'm like, yeah, he's my dad, and this is my business. So why would you tell him my business? Like, it took about 3 to 4 years before my mom finally came and was like, all right, so I kind of understand what's going on.
So, but, Eva, what is your coming out story?
So, mine's a little bit similar in some respects to Lexi as far as the reaction. from my parents, but granted, I didn't do it in a airport setting where I shoved my mom onto a 747 and went, bye, Mom. Now, unfortunately for me, my coming out is a little bit staggered. So if we take it back to like high school, it was like around maybe sophomore year where I initially partially came out. And
by now, gay later.
Mm-hmm, yeah, where I identified as bisexual initially. But the reason why I identified bisexual is because back then I didn't quite understand that, yeah, you know what? I can find a woman to be beautiful. I can find her to be aesthetically pleasing.
You didn't know that you were only gay.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know that I was only gay. I just figured, okay, I can find this woman to be pretty, but I can also find this guy to be pretty. Therefore, I must like both genders at that same time.
Yep, because I went through the same thing. I totally understand.
After school, hang out with friends. We were watching The Real World when that series was on MTV.
Because it was so real.
Yeah, we were teenagers. We didn't know. It was the Chicago season. And it was the season when they had one of the very first, like, openly gay cast members on a show. And during that episode, like, when he was announcing his sexuality, I was like, I'm bi. And my friends at that point were like, oh my god, I didn't know about this. I identified as bi until about my senior year in high school, where I finally was just like, you know what, I'm going to be honest with myself, and I'm just going to actually say I'm gay. At that point, many of my friends knew, and they just didn't care. They were just like, oh, cool, okay. It was about a week before my 19th birthday, and I was still living at home with my parents at that point. And
oh, that's the worst.
Oh, yeah. It was uncomfortable. Like, and mind you, like, at this point, I was 18. I already was starting to develop a sense of my own life. So I was already starting to form a sense of my identity of who I am as an individual, right? And I was starting to build a little semblance of self-confidence. But I was still living at home with mom and dad at that point. And so that week before my birthday, my dad sends me a text message, and he's like, hey, your brother's going to go camping over the weekend, and we're trying to track down some suitcases for him so he can have his stuff out there. Do you have the suitcases in your bedroom? I respond back to him like, no, I don't. And it was a genuine, honest response. But my dad, of course, was like, uh-huh, I got your response. So he starts going into my room and going through my stuff. He actually found the porn. And my mom was right there with him. No, like, this would literally be a good gasp at this point. Where shit hit the fan, because
that's when she was like, DMK, no!
Basically. And I happened to be at school at that point. I think it was in my psych class at that point. And my dad sends me, he's like, hey, I need to talk to you after class. After class, we meet up, and he's like, so I wanted to ask you first before we talk to your mom. We were going through your room, and we found the stuff in the room. What does this mean? And it was at that moment where I was like, okay, this is one of those character-defining moments for me where I have to either own up to who I am or I have to repress who I am. So I did what I felt at that time was the brave thing, which was
own up. Repress.
Yes, I repressed myself, and I just came out last Tuesday. No, I owned up to it, and I was like, Dad, I'm gay. My dad was just, like, heartbroken and just, like, really shocked about it. And he's like, okay, well, we need to go talk to your mom. And so we head back to her house, and my mom's there, and she's like, you can tell that she's devastated. And my mom basically is where I get my short temper from. She's very quick to react. She's a very strong Leo, and she just will react. And it will be a novella. Cue the gasp. And it will just be waterworks all over the place. So she finally flat out asked me, and she said, I don't want you to tell your brother about this, so this just stays between the three of us. But we were going through your room, and we found this material. Again, at that point, that's when I have to own it. It was a bit of a very long process, and it's still very much that's unfolding at that point. But the funny thing in all this is that when they started all this initially, my parents were like, don't tell your brother, don't tell your brother. My brother knew out the gate.
So in seventh grade, I started to develop suicidal thoughts. And I had talked to my teacher at this point, who was a tall, blonde man, that I was feeling suicidal. And he gave me Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter book, and told me to read that to try and find hope in scary situations, right? And it did work, obviously. But I also did start to fall in love with Slytherin boys, so we'll see how that goes.
We now see why.
Yeah, right. We now see the origin of the trend.
So I had also told my mom at the same time that I was suicidal, and my mom's response was, don't even think like that or I'm going to call the fire department. I don't know how it makes sense either, but like every time that somebody...
Is she
going
to put you in a tree?
I don't know. Every time that someone, like, says the word suicidal, right away I think fire department.
Because of your mother.
Because of my mother. So, it was an odd situation, and I had told her, like, look, I have a crush on my teacher. This doesn't make sense. I think I might be bisexual. And she looked at me and was like, duh. Like, I know. So that ruined my whole coming out story. So I came out as bi now gay later to my mom. She told my dad. And then fast forward to a few years later, living in the South, and my mom's sister, she basically forced me to drop the bi and come out as gay. She was like, nobody, you ain't never gonna put a puss in your face. Don't even lie.
Did she say that to you?
Along those lines, yeah. It was a lot to do with, like, vagina in my face. Like, not even kidding. Forced me to come out as gay, so I was like, you know what, you're probably right. Like, so came out as gay. Never, like, my dad always seemed to have a problem with it. He was never a big fan. He was always like, well, that's fine for now. One day you'll meet the right girl kind of situation. And then I get T-boned by a cement truck and am pronounced dead and have to have a full blood transfusion and emergency surgery and I'm put into a medically induced coma for 2 weeks. And now my dad's okay with me being gay.
Because it took that act of tragedy to make him realize.
So yeah, my parents have always been pretty open and supportive about it. My dad, a little less than my mom, but my mom is always really cool about it. My sisters don't give a shit. So my brother is still coming around. But we'll get there eventually. All right, so let's move on to the next thing that Eva had mentioned. What was your queer influence in life?
Probably my dance teachers. Actually, they influenced me a lot. Actually, my dance and my... When I choreograph really similarly to what my first dance teacher used to teach me with a lot of, like, stage movement. And then my energy comes from my other dance teacher who was a really flamboyant, like, Mexican guy. I don't know, like, I tend to take a lot of things from them that I didn't even realize stayed with me. So I feel like that definitely has a lot to do with my performance side of things. So. Mm.
And what queer influences made you become a drag queen?
So we've talked about this, and it sounds like I say it every time. It sounds really cliche, but I did start doing drag because of Drag Race. And more so because of Raven. She gave me something that I really needed.
And your queer influences in life, evolution.
Charles Darwin. No, we've already used that one. As far as, like, performance aspect, I don't think I really had one specific queer influence as far as, like, who I am as an individual. I always have been very heavily influenced by a lot of the women in my life or a lot of the female figures in my life on there. And so it came from, like, a lot of different artists, such as, like, maybe Frida Kahlo or even, like, feminist icons. Even sometimes it even just went down to, like, superheroes. I mean, I know, it's shocking that the cosplay one is the one that gets influenced by superheroes. But, like, I would remember, you know, watching cartoons or watching movies or watching a lot of that graphic imagery and just going, like, I want to be Storm too.
Right. Storm is fierce as shit though, so you had plenty of reason to be
I want that eyeliner and we're still trying to find it. So I just remember being influenced by that and just being really inspired by the strength or that vulnerability that I saw in those characters.
So I feel like you take a lot of, like, inspiration from feminine power, like,
yes, femininity, very much so.
And
And so when it came to me getting into drag the very first time, it was not because of Drag Race. I messaged Lacey on Facebook and I'm like, hey, I know that you do drag and I kind of want to try it again. Do you have any tips for me at that point? And so Lacey at that point, she's like, sure, come on over, I'll paint you. And she paints me and we go out, and it was during one of her events. So as we go out after she painted me and everything, everyone's like, and who's this? And she goes, this is my daughter. But, like, getting me out in, like, full guiche was such a process, because she's like, do you have a drag name yet? And I'm like, I don't know. How about Persephone Rose? Because I think of the Greek goddess Persephone, who's the maiden of the underworld. And she's like, and everyone around me is like, that's such a long name. You need to come up with something else. And so eventually along the route, I found Eva as my name, and that's what ended up staying on there. And then it took about another month or two after that before I got on stage. Stylistic influences for my drag, there's definitely a big element of camp. I'm very much influenced by older influences, such as, like, early 60s, late stuff like that, I would almost say. But I also do have a little bit of a Latin influence, such as, like, maybe Carmen Miranda, you know, some of the older telenovela stars.
So that moves us into Miss Lacey Drawers. What are your influences, my dear?
I love Lucy, Father Knows Best, Mary Tyler Moore, Rhoda. Watched a lot of old TV. I Love Lucy was probably one of the biggest influences on me as well, like Elizabeth Walters. And what's nice is that Lucy was very campy and showed gender changes, costumes, doing ridiculous things. That I wanted to do that, so I got into theater. Being a theater nerd, got into...
I mean, it was a lot of irreverent comedy, too, though. So I think that's probably why you probably responded.
Yeah, could be. But got into theater, got into costuming and wigs and hair and makeup and all of that, and decided that I was going to be a theater major in college. It was very scary, and so I didn't go out a lot. I spent a lot of time at home watching old movies with Jane Mansfield and Marilyn Monroe and...
Never heard of her.
All the old school Mae West, like that kind of stuff. So I grew to really enjoy that kind of fashion, that kind of hairstyling, that kind of makeup. So that's where all of my influences came in when I was in Seattle for a conference through my work, met my drag mother, learned, and then now we here we are, 3 days away from my 10-year anniversary.
Dime que sí! Alright,
so...
Confírmalo!
So what do you think the biggest misconception about drag and performing in drag is?
So obviously the first one is that being... identifying yourself as trans. I think that's the biggest misconception. That they think that just because you put on a frock and a wig...
You want to get rid of your cock.
Exactly. But...
Because that rhymed with frock.
I know. That was a really good placement there.
That was cute. Very cute. I
think
it.
That's the biggest one. I think we're all in agreement on that one.
Not like my comedy. I'm killing on this rhyme.
Roxy, go away.
I think the other misconception would be that we all perform the same.
Well, we are in Denver.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we perform the same.
I know, but there's like... trying to think of a not shady way to say this.
There's an aesthetic that's prominent.
When you go anywhere else, there are so many different styles of drag, and all of them are appreciated. Not everybody enjoys every single performer.
Right.
But people are like, oh my god, I totally like this fishy queen, or oh my god, look at that campy queen who looks like a dude, like, serving a different style of drag, still performing something totally different, totally loving. This one does death drops, that's awesome. This one doesn't. This one barely moves, still working it. It's a performance, it's a feeling. If you're feeling your song or if you're feeling your performance, it's different. When you get to Denver, if you don't look fishy and you're not wearing a leotard, you don't fit in.
I think there's this misconception that drag is this uniform form of expression.
Yeah, there's like the same. A guidebook. Like, I think that's the misconception, is that there's this guidebook for you to do drag a certain way. There's no guidebook for art. Like, there's no way that you can define right. art into one specific set of things. So I think that's why people like me and Lace get so worked up in a way of like, oh, well, you have to wear a leotard, you have to look this way, or you have to do this kind of number, or it has to be high energy.
I, for one, feel really awkward for the bulk order of leotards I just put in last week.
Well, you'll fit in.
Okay, I think the other misconception that I see a lot is that because you are doing drag, therefore you must inherently be bitchy, shady, or just flat out rude to everybody.
Right.
Or because you did drag one time, it affords you the privilege to be bitchy, shady,
right.
or
one
flat out.
One time on Halloween, mm-hmm. and now you are an expert in makeup, you are an expert on how to do drag hair.
So like I said, I think people that have this misconception that they think that because you do drag or because you did drag one time, that it affords you the privilege to be an asshole.
Right.
And I'd like to consider myself to be a very nice person and a very nice queen. I think I have that presence about myself. I mean, I can be a smartass, but that's because after years of putting up with Lexi, I have to learn how to throw it
back. No, and you know, coming from Lexi, like, you know when to exert that. You know exactly when you're going to be the person to be like, no, honey, like, this is how it's going to be run. Because you're just not inherently like that. So that's why, for me, when you say shit like that, I take it, like, I pay much more attention to it
yeah.
because you're not always being this cunty bitch, you know?
I think another big misconception is that drag means that you have to lip sync in a bar to a song for dollars. And that's it. That's all you can do as a drag queen.
Or that the only stage you're supposed to be chasing is the Drag Race workroom.
Right. I think that's
right.
you. I think you hit the nail on the head on that one where. That's kind of everyone's goal.
You can see the queens. The ones that are always on Drag Race that are the quote-unquote filler queens are the ones that are only doing drag to get on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
Where the ones that are doing well are like, I have shit to do, and the best way to accelerate this is to get on Drag Race. We're going to take another quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to talk about our queens. So we'll be right back.
Did you know that this podcast is also sponsored by our live show bookings? If you haven't booked us at your local bar, comedy club, theater, or living room, why not? Visit LaceyJewers.com and click on the Contact Me link for rates and fees today. Or if you want to throw a couple bucks to us, click the Tip a Queen link.
Hey, we're back.
Yay.
Yay. Woo!
So we're going to jump into our segment, Follow That Queen.
Instagram suggestion, Follow That Queen.
So, Eva.
Yes, ma'am.
We would like for you to promote a drag queen. This is a queen that you follow and you enjoy their work.
Okay.
They cannot be Denver-based. They need to have less than 5,000 followers on Instagram. And they need to not be a Drag Race contestant at time of recording.
All right.
So, Eva, who is your queen to follow?
Alrighty, so I'm going to bring a little bit of an East Coast queen for you guys. Her name is Viva Vidalia. She is from New York City.
Onion?
Viva Vidalia.
Like a Vidalia.
Vidalia.
V-I-V-A-V-I-D-A-L-I-A. That's her Instagram handle. You can probably find her on Facebook as well. She is a plus-size girl, and she is also at a boy mode. She's also one of our former Rock Bear New York City title holders out there as well. I like her because, actually, when I first got on Instagram, she was actually one of the very first queens that actually followed me back. So I am gain it forward, if you will.
Mm.
And also, I do actually admire her work because she is a very active performer from the few video clips that I've seen on Instagram. She's a dancing queen, which I appreciate when it's a...
When it's a big plus-size girl.
When it's a curvy girl who can move.
And she's pretty.
She is very
I'm
pretty.
I'm looking at her now, like, she's got bodacious boobies, and she's got a pretty face.
And she always has good hair, which I always appreciate.
Yes, that hair is snatched on.
Yes, Becky!
Yes, Becky with the good hair!
Becky with the good hair. What would be the Spanish name of it with that one? Elizabeth with the good hair.
No, Becky.
Maria.
Rebecca.
Rebecca con the good hair.
Rebecca con el pelo grande. No.
Rebecca con las trenzas.
Rebecca con las trenzas. No.
So for those of you who have managed to put up through our shenanigans today, go ahead and give a follow or a like to any of Viva Vidalia's post on Instagram or on Facebook. She is a very talented queen and she deserves all the best in the world.
What's her Instagram handle again?
It is at V-I-V-A-V-I-D-A-L-I-A. Viva Vidalia.
Awesome. Lexi, who is your queen to follow?
So my queen to follow this week is going to be Las Vegas Cher. This is not Chad Michaels. This is, will we call this the replacement to Chad Michaels?
Chad Michaels.
You know who she is.
Yeah, I mean, she is the reigning Cher impersonator.
In Vegas.
In the Diva show in Vegas, yeah.
So, but yeah, she's really pretty, and her makeup for Cher, she does Celine Dion as well, so... The makeup applications that I've seen so far from her are actually pretty on point, which I can appreciate. There's a lot of attention to detail with a lot of the Cher, you know, nods and costumes and stuff, because they look exactly like what Cher would be wearing on stage. So I really appreciate that. And I don't know. I just like her face because I can tell it's a drag queen, but that's not a bad thing at the same time. I like the makeup application that goes with that, so... Yeah, the Las Vegas Cher.
My queen to follow this week is Alora Chateau. She is a Pittsburgh-based beauty. She considers herself a quote-unquote natural beauty. She's fucking gorgeous.
How gorgeous is she?
So here's what I love, is that her paint is different in every single post that she's doing. She paints different all the time.
Oh, wow.
She does different genres. She does not put herself in a box. She's got some gorgeous pinup looks that I'm like, I want to recreate those. Then she has some modern day looks that I'm like, fuck, like, I wish I could get away with that. She's so versatile in her drag that I am super envious of her because there are things that she does that I would be almost too afraid to do in drag.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, that says a lot, actually, about her drag.
She is so versatile. She is gorgeous. Her paint is beautiful. As a guy, I think he's adorable. So go follow her. She is at Alora Chateau. AlloraChateaux. Alora Chateau. Chateau is French for castle, by the way.
Oui.
No. Do you know the French word for no?
Non.
No. All right, so Evolution, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me at Instagram at Evolution86. I am working on debuting a like page for Facebook because I figured I might as well hop on that bandwagon. But for the meantime, if you want to get your thrills, your chills, and your cosplay fix, when I do one, go ahead and follow Evolution, EvaLucien86, Instagram, whether on the app or on the website, whatever you want to do. And then keep an eye out for that Facebook like page, which may keep the same name pattern just for consistency. And also catch me this summer at Denver Comic Con at several panels. So come check us out. Come see some cosplay, some discussions, and also catch me at Pride with the Solace Pride float as well. So
Joss Queen,
she working this summer.
She working. She getting booked, darling.
Yeah, she is.
Yes, joy.
Lexi Diamond.
Lexi Diamond. So that's exactly what you're going to be looking for when you look for me on Facebook.
Lexi Diamond.
Make sure that you're looking for the drag queen that's got like 5 different pictures as the headshot, basically.
But what if I want the porn star?
Well, then you just go to the porn star. So, okay. I mean,
that's fine too.
Yeah, it's no fine judgment. Too. Yeah, no. DMK, no. For Instagram, it's going to be LexiDiamond93. So, yeah. Come find me. Also, Snapchat, ALEGAR14.
You can find all of my contact information, links, everything that you need to know on my website, LaceyGerards.com. As a reminder, my birthday is this Saturday, May 27th.
Happy birthday!
And it is my birthday show up at Scrumpy's Bar in Fort Collins. So if you're in the Fort Collins area, please come by. Wish me a happy birthday. It's a $5 cover, which is amazingly cheap for Fort Collins drag. Celebrating my birthday with me. So come out to Scrumpy's. You can get all the contact information and details on that on my website, lisadrawers.com. All right, Eva, thank you so much for joining with us today.
Thank you. As fun. It was painful.
I do not really like the fact that we're always finding her walking around, and so we're like, hey,
girl, that's how I get booked. I go put on my crop top and I go find my gig, though.
Bro, where is your contour? Get over here. Now sit and you talk for 4 hours. We're going to cut it down to 30 minutes.
It's not an illusion. Your dreams are about to come true. The Believe Your Eyes Collection. Moodstruck 3D Fiber Lashes Plus. Moodstruck Addiction Eyeshadow Palette. Moodstruck Precision Pencil Eyeliner, and a free unique branded drawstring bag. Just $74, a 20% savings. Visit LaceyDrawers.com today and click on Unique by Renee. Looks like miracles do exist. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. May customer kudos runs through May 31st, 2017.